Welcome to the Modern Miss Mason podcast. My name is Leah Bowden, longtime student of Charlotte Mason's work and practitioner of her methods. I'd love to help you find the fun and the freedom in her philosophy. The beauty and benefits of living life as a nature observer is that as each new season unfurls, old familiar friends appear along the roadside, in the hedgerows, in parks, woods, and flower beds. The colour and vibrance of creation gently whispers to us, "I'm back." Observation really does slow us down. It commands our attention and invites us into enjoyment. Earlier this week, I taught my 15-year-old son how to make the perfect cup of pour-over coffee on his request. He chose the beans, weighed them, ground them, soaked the filter, and then slowly poured slightly cooled boiled water over freshly ground coffee grounds to perfect his morning cup, and he loved it. On day two of Bowden barista training, he asked me to watch him, but not do anything. And, you know, like any good mother, as he was following up on his new skill, I took the opportunity to talk to him about the benefits of slow living, how so many Brits throw a spoonful of coffee granules in a mug and pour boiling water into it and maybe a little bit of milk and sugar and call it coffee. But he was learning process. I talked about slow food and the enjoyment of chopping and sizzling and cooking, but by now I'd lost him, and he was just, of course, anticipating, enjoying the fruits of his labour. But, you know, I enjoyed narrating my thoughts. Yesterday, I woke to the sound of the coffee grinder, bearing in mind I'm always up first in this house, and the smell of freshly brewed coffee. Maybe he was listening after all.
Happy Thought by Robert Louis Stevenson. The world is so full of a number of things, I'm sure we should all be as happy as kings.
So today I want to introduce you to a very special guest, my good friend and fellow Brit, Lynn Seddon. Lynn is an incredible wife and mother. She is an author, a speaker, a creative, and she is a real inspiration to so many of us. Lots of you will be using her book, Exploring Nature with Children. And if you head over to the Raising Little Shoots website or just Google Exploring Nature with Children, you will see the vast array of resources and products that are available over there. I particularly love Exploring Nature with Children. We've been using that for many, many years, individually with my children, but also with the nature group that I run. She also has a journal, like a notebooking book that goes alongside that, which is just beautiful. I love her phenology wheel guides. I mean, she has many guides to help you celebrate the seasons. There's just so much on there. I recommend maybe even pause for a moment, head over to the website, purchase what you need, and then come back for our conversation. I've not only appreciated Lynn as a helping hand and a voice of wisdom into my homeschooling journey, but she has in recent years become a dear, dear friend to me. And we have explored the Lake District many a time together, and just she's just fun. She's a delight to be around. She's such a joy, and I can't wait for you to listen in to our conversation today. So just before we jump in with Lynn, I'm going to read to you a paragraph or two from Home Education. This is volume one of Charlotte Mason's 6 volumes of work, which we discussed last week. And the part that I'm reading to you is the bit that we, well, some of us can struggle with when we've got full, busy lives and households, when we are advised, encouraged to be outside as long as possible in the day, possibly 4 to 6 hours. And many of you have read that, have had all sorts of feelings about it. So here I jump straight in by asking Lynn the question, how does she respond to people who ask of her, you know, how do I do that? How is that possible to be outside for as long as that? And also, just a little note, guys, we are still perfecting the sound quality of having visitors. We will be having visitors every so often. We haven't quite perfected it for this week, but the conversation is definitely worth turning up and tuning into. So please don't be put off by the occasional, scratchy sound. It's a good conversation. But thank you for your patience. Enjoy.
I make a point, says a judicious mother, of sending my children out, weather permitting, for an hour in the winter and 2 hours a day in the summer months. That is well, but it is not enough. In the first place, do not send them. If it is any way possible, take them. For although the children should be left much to themselves, there is a great deal to be done, and a great deal to be prevented during these long hours in the open air. And long hours they should be. Not 2, but 4, 5, or 6 hours they should have on every tolerable fine day, from April till October. Impossible, says an overwrought mother, who sees her way to no more for her children than a daily hour or so on the pavements of the neighbouring London squares. Let me repeat that I venture to suggest not what is practicable in any household, but what seems to me absolutely best for the children. And that, in the faith that mothers work wonders once they are convinced that wonders are demanded of them. A journey of 20 minutes by rail or omnibus and a luncheon basket will make a day in the country possible to most town dwellers, and if one day, why not many? Even every suitable day.
I always try to reassure people, because I think everyone is coming to this from a really good place of wanting to do the absolute best that they can for their children. And then they suddenly have this pressure of, as well as, you know, maintaining their home and looking after the family and home educating, they now have to spend 4 to 6 hours out of doors every single day. And I know some people are very purist about this idea, but personally, I would look at the idea and ask, what was the heart of her message? What truth was she teaching us? What was the purpose of this 4 to 6 hours out of doors every day? If you read on a little bit further in Home Education, to me, she tells us sort of the nutshell of why we study nature. Let them once get in touch with nature, and a habit is formed which will be a source of delight through life. We were all meant to be naturalists, each in his degree, and it is inexcusable to live in a world so full of the marvels of plant and animal life and to care for none of these things. So that is one of the reasons why she wants us to study nature, to have this habit formed which is going to be a source of delight for the child's entire life. And I think if we just take the heart of that and not beat ourselves up over this 4 to 6 hours.
That's good. And I think obviously we're at the moment, we're recording in the midst of a global pandemic, and we are being told you can go out for exercise. Here in the UK, we're being told you can go out for exercise once a day. Children can obviously go in their gardens, but there's no way, you know, you could go out for long lengths of time. How do you think, do you have a few tips for people who are struggling at the moment, trying to stay in that kind of nature study rhythm, but can't get out very much?
Yes, very much so. I would say, if you're struggling to get out and about, and I think this is good advice for people who can't necessarily get out and about at any time, not just during this bizarre time that we're going through, I would say try and look up, try and look down. Just good. Boil everything down to that. If you're looking up, you know, observe the sun, position of the sun, the same time every day, and look at it an hour later, where is it now, you know, 3 hours later, and so forth. Similarly with the moon position, what shape is the moon? Keep tracking the moon every evening. Constellations, there's a really good app called, I think it's Star Map app, which is great. You just point it up at the sky and it'll tell you everything that you can see.
I love that app. It's great.
Brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look at weather, look at cloud shapes, types, look at the three main types of clouds, and then just look down. So you can do all this pretty much, you know, out of your window, or just step out of doors, or on your daily walk if you're able to go for a daily walk. But look down as well, look at shadows, measuring shadows.
Very good.
How long are shadows? Does that change? Do they stay the same? Weeds, you know, are there any weed, what people call as weeds, are growing around? Often weeds are medicinal, well, often the medicinal plants, plants that have historically been used medicinally or for food. So you can research that, find out more about that, and observe, even if it's just one little dandelion growing through the pavement crack, just observe that plant, see how it changes, what's its story, get to know that plant.
That's amazing. And so simple, that idea of look up, look down. I just think it really brings it into this sort of realistic sense of everyone can do that. If you're in an apartment, you can look out the window or some of the balcony, whatever kind of, you know, and look out at the city sky or at the ground. Maybe you've got a window box, but I love that it's applicable to everyone, really.
Definitely.
That's so good. I was reading, Lynn, in the Commonplace Quarterly, which is one publication that you write for regularly. And you said this, I'm going to quote yourself to you. You said, nature study is not a superfluous, fluffy add-on to a rigorous education of mathematics, Latin literature, and so forth. Miss Mason saw nature study as standing proudly in its own right, developing the child's vital mental processes, invaluable for all requirements that life would throw at him. When we study nature, we observe closely both the big picture and the minute details. And I love what you've just said now. Help, you know, the big picture could be the sky, the minute details could be, you know, an ant on your decking or whatever it is. But even in the midst of these unusual times, we can still closely see big and minute. And it's so good. And you know what, do you get out daily? How often do you get kind of take a personal walk or walk with your girls?
Well, we are very fortunate that we have a horse, so animal care is something that is permitted in our country. We're getting out every day doing that, otherwise we would be able to walk. But we're spending a lot of time just in our garden at the moment as well.
Yeah, we're the same.
With the weather being so nice. And if you do have a garden, if you're fortunate enough to have a garden, a good idea of something that people can do is to do a meter square sort of biodiversity plot.
Have you? Okay. I haven't done that. Tell everyone how to do that.
So it's just literally plotting out a meter or a yard square you can just pop string to plot out the square, lay it down on the ground, and then observe, write a description. You can pop this in all in your nature journal, write a description of your site. So pop, you know, the location, it's the garden or whatever, note the weather, the temperature, do that every day and observe and record what you're finding in that meter square.
That's fantastic.
And it's great to do it repeatedly through the year as well and see just how that changes. It's quite surprising, the changes.
You could even do a visual project with that. Take a photograph every day and pull those together in like a time-lapse thing, which would be great. I wonder if anyone's ever done that. But that's a great idea, Lynn. I love it.
I like your idea.
Well, I might do it. I'll let you know. Now, one thing, Lynn, that I've always appreciated about you, and more so since I've got to know you as a friend, really, is the beautiful rhythms that you keep in your life. I would describe them as these soul enriching rhythms, whether it's around prayer or reading, journaling. And there's this phrase, obviously, that is said a lot around Charlotte Mason circles, is mother culture. And I do believe we owe Karen Andriola for that beautiful phrase. And in that, I always think of mothers being, you know, they're observing and reading and recording and making for themselves, for their own lives. And could you give us a little insight to what that looks like for you, what it means for you, and how you outwork that? Because it looks different for everyone, doesn't it?
Yes, of course, yes. I've always been very much a person who likes to have a daily rhythm. I don't do well with fly by the seat of your pants kind of days. So I always like to get up early and get into my day, and I always have to carve out time.
To WhatsApp here. Sorry, had to throw that in because it seems to be part of our daily rhythm nowadays.
You're very
That was very rude of me. You're Carry very on.
Part of my daily rhythm, Leah.
That's good.
So I have to have time where I'm doing something, and it doesn't have to be time. I mean, I do get time to myself now because the children are older, but when they were little, there's always someone around, isn't there? I don't think you necessarily have to have time alone. It's just making that time to do something that enriches yourself. And for me, that's very much spending time praying and reading my Bible and handwork of some kind or other throughout the day. Very important to me.
Handwork. What does that mean to you? What kind of handwork do you do?
All sorts of things. I like knitting is my big thing because I can just pick it up and do it anywhere. It doesn't need to be thought out. I can just carry it around. I do have a basket that I take absolutely everywhere with me around the house. I think of it as my little comfort basket.
Oh, I love it.
And it always has a handwork project in there. So at the moment, there's a pair of socks being knitted in it. And I keep books, a bottle of water, my makeup bag in there. With, you know, lip balm and waking up, reviving spray and all the...
Yes, we need that, absolutely.
There's, I'm just having a look now, a pencil case, there's books that I'm reading. There's always my little comforts with me. And then I can just pick it up wherever I am in the house and just add a few rows on. But I quite like to spin as well. I have a fleece that's waiting for me now to be washed and carded, which is sort of combing all the fibers, and then it'll
do you do the carding as well,
and then it'll be spun up, and then eventually it will become a useful knitted item.
That's amazing.
I like to make some Christmas presents, so at the beginning of the year, I sit down, have a good think, list out everybody that I need to make something for and come up with something. So that can be different. You know, I do a lot of knitted things. I also like to make flavoured gin for my friends.
Oh, what kind of flavours have you made, Lynn? I like the sound of that.
Lovely ones. One year I did Christmas pudding flavour. That was really nice. Then one year I did Clementine and Bay.
That's amazing. I've always wanted to try slow gin, actually, because we have slow berries in near where we live, and I just haven't ever got around to it, but I think I should make that a goal for this winter. Yes.
It's a lovely project. It's a really lovely project. Last winter I did raspberry gin with raspberries that we grow in the garden, and it was just gorgeous.
How lovely. Yeah, you do actually, I noticed you do put us all to shame with starting your Christmas making in January. I remember seeing an Instagram post and going, what? And that's where you and I completely differ, because 1st of January, I think I start thinking about Christmas, but... maybe you inspire me to push that forward a little bit. So do you commonplace, Lynn, and for anybody who has never heard that before, a commonplace book is where a place to gather quotes and poems and parts of books that you're reading, things that you've loved and they've got a special meaning to you, and you write them out into a book. And it's something that Charlotte Mason did and kind of inspired us to do, didn't she, and other mothers. Do you have that as a practice?
I do. My book is expanded slightly. It's I don't just keep quotes and poetry and what have you in it, but I always have one on the go. I am going through my basket now to get mine out.
Well, I like this live action. This is great.
So I just put all sorts of things in there. So things that I am reading or studying. I also like to print off just low quality photographs of, you know, day to day happenings and pop those in. Make little notes on things that I'm learning, and nature observations go in there. It's notes on the children. So it's things that I'm perhaps learning in my prayer times and Bible readings go in there. So,
which really are all forms of connections, aren't they? Yeah. It's not just the books and the poetry, but that's actually how, I guess, as you look back, you can see things maybe that you were reading that were connected with things that you were seeing and observing and talking about. And yeah, I love that idea. That's
everything
lovely.
Everything goes in the one book.
That's so good. And how do you choose your reading? So do you do the whole three books on the go at a time, or are you one book girl? How do you do that?
Neither really. I just tend to have quite a few different books on the go of different genres. So I have to confess, I'm quite a nonfiction sort of person.
Yeah, I am generally, actually. That's my default. Yeah. I have to kind of force myself to read fiction. I do try and have one going, but it's not my favourite.
Yes. I tend to listen more to non-fiction. Yeah. And Audible is great for that, listening to audio books. So you can do that while you do other things, can't you?
Yeah, that's what just today I had a credit on my Audible. And I downloaded the, I'm going to get the title wrong, but the Guernsey Potato Peel Pie Society. Yes. I saw the film, absolutely loved it, loved the soundtrack, and have been meaning to read the book. And I thought, what a lovely book to be listening to while I'm getting on with things around the house and the garden. So, yes, I'll be starting that tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that.
I don't know how you get on with that.
I will, yes. It's the only thing with Audible. You can't pass the book on afterwards, can you? I don't think you can anyway. I've never seen that. I know on Kindle there's some kind of option where you can pass them on or share them, but I know with Audible, but at least you can recommend them. So you shared with me one of your favourite poems, and we do have a reading of that when we finish our conversation. Can you tell us a little bit more about why you've picked this poem and what you liked about it?
I do really enjoy Christina Rossetti's poetry, and I just think this particular poem, In the Bleak Midwinter, it's just a beautiful hymn of worship from her heart. It's so beautifully written. It's very starkly written. The verses really echo that first verse where she's talking about earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. It's just,
I know, incredible. The language there is amazing.
So evocative, isn't it?
It is. Yeah,
it's just sums up everything about my own faith, I think.
In the Bleak Midwinter by Christina Rossetti. In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow on snow, snow on snow. In the bleak midwinter, long ago. Our God, heaven cannot hold him, nor earth sustain. Heaven and earth shall flee away when he comes to reign. In the bleak midwinter, a stable place sufficed, the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Enough for him whom cherubim worship night and day, breast full of milk and a manger full of hay. Enough for him whom angels fall before, the ox and ass and camel which adore. Angels and archangels may have gathered there. Cherubim and seraphim thronged the air. But his mother only, in her maiden bliss, worshipped the beloved with a kiss. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give my heart.
It's difficult to know how to end this delightful session of poetry and conversation. It's been amazing to introduce you to Lynn if you've not met her before, and maybe you know her online but you've never heard a conversation like that between her and her good buddy Leah. Well, wasn't that just wonderful? And please click on the link, whatever platform you're listening on, click on the link that says details on your podcast platform, and there's various links on there. You can head over and check out Lynn's products, check out her website. And she is on Raising Little Shoots on Instagram. And don't forget, if you are interested in finding out more about the Charlotte Mason philosophy, you can find me on Modern Miss Mason on Instagram and Facebook and my website. And again, on the same links, you can go over and check out my course, which is called Charlotte Mason Unboxed, which will really help you find your freedom within her philosophy. Hope you've enjoyed our time together today, and I'll see you back here next week. Thank you for listening to the Modern Miss Mason podcast. If you loved it, share it with a friend, and you can leave us a great review. And of course, we'll be back here next week. Before then, you can find me on Facebook or Instagram on Modern Miss Mason, or you can go over to my website on modernmissmason.com.